Blog Talk Radio.
The following program is a presentation of the Admiral's Radio Network.
It's time to enter the locker room. The Coach's Show of Michigan Admirals Minor League Football.
And protocol has been established.
Yes, it has. Protocol has been established.
And it will be Saturday, one way or another, I guess. Welcome to the locker room on Blog Talk Radio and the Admirals Radio Network. I'm Coach Donald Matthews of the Michigan Admirals. And with us, as usual, first of all, the truck. Got that spare tire yet, truck?
No, I'll go back to the wheel shop tomorrow, and hopefully I have some good news.
Well, that's good. And also our play-by-play man, Bill Schnorenberg. What's up, Bill?
Good.
You know, he starts out so calm, and then, you know, things just goes to hell so quickly with him.
I'm calm.
I know. You always start out calm. And then it goes downhill from there.
Well, unless we talk about something that's going to piss me off, then, you know.
Well, you know, why would we do that?
Okay, what's going to piss me off?
Nothing's going to piss you off. Come on.
I have all four tires, so I'm good. I'm not using a spare Turner.
We got jokes, I see. We got jokes.
Tonight on the locker room, we're going to start out talking USFA things. Talk about our game against the Forest on Saturday, which was interesting to say the least. Talk a little about our upcoming final game of the year in Lima against the Lima Warriors, and then we move on to some NFL stuff. It's some interesting stuff I found on the internet today, you know, not just the Hall of Fame ceremony, which we'll talk about in a little bit also, and the continuing saga in Packerland, but I want to get people's comment on this new fan code of conduct for the National Football League. We will talk about more about that later, but first of all, we're going to talk about our game against the West Michigan Forest on Saturday. As I said, that was an interesting game.
Yeah,
right,
we'll
go first.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bill.
I was going to say, felt early on that defenses were taking a holiday, and it was, again, the story was if we had maybe a few subs on offense, on the offensive line, and gas in the third quarter, I think there's, once again, no doubt that we probably win that game. We were just moving the ball nonstop, just our defense once again got tired in the second half. But it wasn't boring, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. You know, there's been a lot of high-scoring games in this league this year. And, you know, when people talk to me about that, I kind of liken it to the old AFL, you know, the Joe Namath days, you know, when people used to put up those kind of numbers on a regular basis. You know, and let me say first that the Force has a pretty good defense, and they played pretty well defensively all year. We just, for the amount of people that we had on Saturday, we played pretty well as you said, we had gas in the tank. When the tank ran a little low, then, you know, stuff happens, you know. But I'm going to let you, Bill, take a few minutes, ask me a few questions, and then we're going to move on to this Saturday's game.
Well, you've had a couple people step up the last 2 weeks of play. Well, I want you to get your thoughts on the play of Justin Mars has played well, and Steve Jones now seems, after a while now, struggling, he's playing with more confidence.
Well, I think first with Steve Jones, I think his the big thing with him was getting his girlfriend to watch him play. Once that happened, he seemed to play much better. I think he had his sister and his girlfriend in stands Saturday, and he got two picks, did pretty well. Teams have been picking on him this year for sure, but he has some talent, and I think his biggest problem is not physical. His biggest problem this year has been mental.
Can I add something to that?
Sure, go ahead.
I think a big part of what's been going on with Steve this year is he spends a lot of time listening to other people and not doing what he knows he should do. And I think once he got to the point, it was like, you know what, okay, I know what I'm doing back here. Once he got that confidence to where, he didn't have where he felt comfortable and he didn't have six different people telling him to do six different things. I think that's made a lot of difference in him. I think if he sticks around, he's good. We're going to be talking about him next year like we talk about Jarrett this year, Pfeiffer, as far as the improvement and everything.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Hey, now, before you move on, Bill, I gotta address this. Devin, damn it, I thought we had already discussed this. He's still talking about he's not going to kick the McHugh. I thought we already discussed this weeks ago.
Yeah, I thought there was a deal in place there.
We're just hoping our kicker gets the ball downfield and the football goes further than the tee. That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah.
And he says they're gonna be blitzing yunking every down, even when they're on offense. Nothing he ain't seen before. They've been bringing the house on him all year long. Most defenses are taking a calculated gamble and trying to get to him before he can get the ball off, and he's making better decisions as the season goes on. This is his first season that he's played in, after taking, I believe, 4 years off from playing, and as the season has progressed, he has become better in his decision making and his leadership skills. Has improved greatly. And, I always said, this is one of my pet sayings, you guys feel free to use it if you want to, but I always get the quarterbacks together at the beginning of the year and the captains in general, and I say that, there's a fine line between being a leader and an asshole. And you know what I'm talking about. You gotta be careful of stepping over that line, and it is a fine line that you have to walk in terms of that and how to address certain problems on the team, certain problems with your offense, without seeming like an asshole.
I think a good quarterback has a good balance of both. To be able to take control in that huddle, that's something that I was, I was kind of teasing Yunkin about last week. I was like, Kenny would, Jason Kenny, he would just be a prick in the huddle sometimes. I mean, he'd cuss you out right there, and then he'd come up and slap you on the helmet the next play and say, good play. I mean, it's just, there's got to be that balance, to make, this better quarterback. My opinion.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know whether, anybody else want to chime in on this, but I've never really met a quarterback that wasn't somewhat of a butthole. I think that's just the nature of the beast and, the makeup there. But it's like you say, Lon, I think it's a matter of, how much you do that and whether you bring yourself back from the brink by patting butt instead of chewing butt. You can't be a butthole all the time,
Yeah.
But, Bill, we go back to you now before you fall asleep.
I was wondering now, since we're playing Lima, are we ready to put in that wing T and T formation and the swinging gate?
Yesterday we worked on the flying wedge. And, you know, I got some old Red Grange films, you know, old Bronco Nagurski stuff, and I thought it was fantastic. So, you know, you'll probably see, you know, the old flying wedge at some point on Saturday.
Well, you know, going back to for a minute, you know, the problem is you got six people telling them six different things, and the six people who are telling them the things don't know the damn thing to do themselves.
True. That's true enough. You know, and that do mess with your head, you know, as far as he goes. But who's the other guy you were talking about? See, we talked about Steve so long. I forgot the Jay Myers. Yeah. Playing pretty much out of position, you know. We brought him in to play wide receiver. And early on, when we started losing players, had to put him at linebacker, which is something I think he did sophomore year of high school or whatever. And it took him a little while to adjust to playing on that side of the ball, but he's a very opportunistic guy. He's around the football, and I'm hoping next year to get him back on, back on the other side of the ball where he can be more productive. But Jay Myers has been like a lot of these guys have been this year, and you know, like I said, it's been a tough year, but. These guys are football players, you know. They volunteer, say, hey, I can play here, I can play there. And, you know, somehow in this season, the way things have went, you know, we find a way to make it work, at least up to this point.
Well, what is your main goal for Saturday? Because Lima really does it. They do have home field throughout their playoffs to play for on their conference, but what's a couple things that you're really looking for since this is the last game of the year going into the next season?
Well, first of all, I'm hoping their whole defensive unit pulls up lame at practice tomorrow, and their whole offense gets suddenly disinterested, you know, and then I'll feel a lot better. But barring that, the thing that I want to see, you know, it's something that we talked about in the locker room last week, is that, you know, we're struggling, you know, and there's no way to sugarcoat that. But I think you have to just relax and just play football and just not get caught up with what the score says, you know, how much time is left, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Just play ball. You know, you got 60 more minutes to play in the season, and then you got to wait until next season to play. So, you know, I think it behooves you to, you know, to give it your best effort one last time.
I need your comments on Boom.
Boom is improving. Luzina DeGier, he's playing more than I want him to play because of our shortage of players, but I think he's going to be a fantastic player, you know, if he sticks at this level for a couple of years. Smart as hell. I mean, you don't have to talk to him about much. You know, he knows the game, and which is really surprising because he hasn't played this game very long. But he, you know, he's a very intelligent guy, not football intelligent, period, and that filters down to what he's doing on the football field because he loves it so much.
You know, and the one thing I've said that I've said to Boom, you know, this year is just, I think it was the Ada game where he had a couple personal fouls. I told him, I said, you know, I said, I can't say anything, you know, negative about you. I said, except for the fact that just keep your head. I said, make sure you think all the time. I said, because, you know, I think he had that late hit on the quarterback. And that ball had been gone for, you know, long enough to where we were, you know, we were all looking downfield. Next thing you know, you look up and he's, you know, killing the quarterback. And that's the only thing. And I think a big part of it is just he loves to play the game, and you know, he gets so excited. I mean, just like, you know, before, I think it was the Ada game, or it may have been the Outlaws game.
you know, he was so excited to be playing. He had his jersey on, and he started to put his pads on over his jersey. You know, and he just has that excitement to play. And once he, gets his mind set to where he's calm, then I think he's going to – I look forward to playing with him next year, honestly.
I can tell you this now that we're talking about Saturday and talking about the Lima Warriors. This is everybody on the team, I believe, first experience playing the Lima Warriors. But it is not my first experience playing the Warriors. I got to tell you this quick story. I forget what year it was, you know, and Devin can probably help me. The very first year that the Lima Warriors were in existence in the Ohio Valley Football League, I was the coach of the Flint Falcons in that league. And my final game as the coach of the Flint Falcons that year, I believe it was 2001, but, correct me if I'm wrong. My final game as coach of that team was against the Lima Warriors. They came to Flint and played at Edwards Stadium, and we beat the Warriors 21-6. Now, the reason why that was my last game, and we were 6-0 at the time when I quit, and all this is well documented in all the newspapers and all the sports shows and stuff around here because we were the only game in town back then. That team had a general manager who generously was a butthole, and he didn't think that I was beating people bad enough. That was his main complaint, and he basically was a meddler, and I grew sick of it, and I ended up leaving, you know, quitting after the Lima game. I thought that was probably the best team. Best team that I ever had, quite frankly. And, you know, we had talent across the board, and I just knew that that year was going to end up with the OVFL championship. You know, it wasn't to be. I ended up leaving after 6 games. They ended up going on and not winning the league. And, oh, man, Devin said he got pictures from that game. I can't wait to see them. So, you know, that's like I said, that's not the first time that this is not going to be the first time that I've, you know, met the Lima Warriors. I believe Devin was a player then, if I'm
said he was number 88.
He's number 88? Oh, okay.
The guy on the bench by the big orange water cooler that said Gatorade on it.
I do remember the Bot Brothers. I know they're still on the team, so you know, it's been that was like ancient history to me, you know. That's really what led me to form the Admirals. You know, after that year, the Falcons went down the tubes, and you know, I ended up with the Admirals, and you know, kind of the rest is history. See, there, I can tell an interesting story every now and then.
There you go.
But, you know, like I said, I'm really looking forward to the atmosphere on Saturday. You know, they're promising some people in the stands, you know, which is kind of like, you know, a foreign thing to us. I think there's only been one game we played this year. It was actually a decent crowd in the stands. That was when we went to Battle Creek. I could speak 1.5 hours on the apathy of the Flint sports fan, but we're going to leave that for another show.
I can sum it up in one word: lazy.
Surprise!
Yeah, maybe so.
They are all, most of them, are stupid, dumb, and ignorant.
We have our little core of people, you know, and I know Clark kind of hurt you out there, you know, that was something that really helped, but You know, you'd be surprised after seven seasons of playing football how many people, and then you talk about the Admirals, is like, who are they? And, you know, and I guess some of that is our fault, but, you know, some of that comes from the fact that you don't get a lot of press coverage in this town. You know, we're getting, you know, we get a little blurb in the paper when, you know, the Monday after a game, and sometimes you got to really look hard to find the two-sentence summary on the back page of the sports section, you know. You know, especially this time of year when the Lions are starting up and the colleges are getting ready to start and things like that. So, you know, like I said, we could do a whole show on that, and I can talk for at least an hour and a half on the apathy of the Flint or Genesee County sports fan, but I'm going to get off of that right now.
You know, that should be a good off-season show.
You know, I'm sure we'll get back to it. You know, it's just that, you know, now isn't really the time.
Something to say on that topic, unfortunately.
I do want to say for Saturday's game, from what I'm told, this is the very first time in USFA history that both teams are going to be broadcasting the game at the same time. So protocol has been established there. We just can't help it.
You have to establish
Go ahead, Bill.
I was going to say, Lon has to third the protocol establishment because I second it, so Lon has to third it.
Oh, yeah, I concur wholeheartedly.
And the one thing that I'm interested in Saturday, you know, and they're talking about this on the web chat, the Lima Warriors have a giveaway on Saturday. They have this little promotion where they're giving away a Toyota truck at halftime. And what somebody has to do, what one lucky fan is going to have to do, is they're going to have to punt a ball, I believe, 30 yards into the bed of the pickup truck. And if they do that and the ball stays in the bed, they win the truck. I really like that. And I'm interested to see if somebody actually does win that. You know, I may hang around on the sidelines at halftime just to watch the competition. But I told the guys that, you know, this is a game that, you know, you really should be there, soak up the atmosphere, and find out really what minor league football is supposed to be all about. You know, they got somewhat of an idea against Racine last year, and you know, those are some wild fans in Racine. You know, they threw beer on us and stuff like that. You know, and hopefully nothing like that happened in Lima Saturday. But you know, that was an experience in itself. You know, just playing a team that has such a storied tradition as the Racine Raiders have, and you know, and Lima has that same kind of tradition from their beginnings in 2001 to this point now. And, you know, to be able to play them and, you know, hopefully do a little damage, you know, we'll see. But, you know, I think we can make it interesting for them, at least for a while.
Well, I hope so either.
Anything else you want?
You're starting to sound like Lou Holtz.
I gotta go home and put my head in the toilet or something on that one. I cannot stand that man.
I'm just telling you who you sound like. I hope we go down there and can get him the game. Start to sound like more and more every day, you're turning towards Notre Dame, and it's scary. Daughter's wearing a coat at baseball games. And now you're talking like Lou Holtz.
That doc, like you said, that is scary. I don't want to sound like anybody that has had any with Notre Dame. Again, it's a topic for another show.
Indeed.
I do want to, we'll talk about this more next week when we talk about the end of the season and really lump everything up and, you know, tie it in a nice, neat little bow. But, I do want to thank the fans that stuck with us throughout this season. Once again, we talk about the sports fan around here. These guys barely support winners, and when you have a bad season like we've had, and it's not a catastrophic season by any stretch of the imagination, but it hasn't been up to our standards. Let's put it that way, all right?
All right.
It's easy for the casual sports fan around here to walk away from it and whatnot, but we have some pretty loyal people here. And loyal people that listen to webcasts around the country every week, and I want to thank everybody for that. Ain't that right, William? I think he wants to put on a jersey and shoulder pads Saturday and throw one pass. Then he'll go back upstairs.
Two.
If he does that, you can put all you want to. I'm just saying.
Ready. After my last practice, I'm ready.
You threw one pass in practice yesterday. It was a wounded duck.
Doesn't matter how they get there, just as long as it gets there, and it hit them in stride, so it doesn't matter. My passes break the laws of getting there.
Only because he's trotting, son. Only because he's trotting. I will. What we're going to do here is we're going to take a break and have Aaron Matthews on with This Week in the USFA. And when we return, we'll talk some more football here. We're heading to week 10, the final week of the United States Football Alliance season. So stick around. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Locker Room on Blog Talk Radio and the Admirals Radio Network.
This is Joey Arthur, tight end of the Mount Carmel Fire, and you're listening to The Locker Room on Blog Talk Radio and the Admirals Radio Network.
Time now for This Week in the USFA, a weekly look at the premier semi-pro football league in the country. Here's your host, Aaron Matthews.
The playoff picture clears up in the West, but it's still a little cloudy in the East. We welcome you to This Week in the USFA. I'm Aaron Matthews. Let's go ahead and recap Week 9 worth of action. We'll start things out in the Eastern Conference as the West Virginia Lightning were looking to clinch home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They took on the Mountain State Bruins, and the Lightning get the job done, moving to 9-0 and wrapping up their regular season with a 68-29 win over the Mountain State Bruins. Also in the East, the Cleveland Cobras were looking to jump to the number 2 seed as they took on the Akron Jags.
Firehouse formation now. Ivory takes the snap. He's dropping back to pass. He's got some protection, and he's going down the left sideline. That's Lawrence Bickerstaff! A bomb to Lawrence Bickerstaff for the touchdown! That was a 60-yard touchdown pass from Damian Ivory to Lawrence Bickerstaff. Down the sideline he goes. He's still running around the track. A touchdown for the Cobras and a 50-21 score. The Cobras now leap into that 2 seed in the playoff seeding.
Matt Fuller with the call as the Cobras get the job done and defeat the Jags 50-21. Elsewhere in the East, the Pittsburgh Pride with a 13-0 win over the New York State Lions. The Pride, however, moved from the number 2 seed to the number 3 seed in the East. Lackawanna maintains the number 4 seed as the Dynasty win 40-12 over Steel City United. The West Virginia Crash jump into the playoff picture right now with the number 5 seed with a 48-7 win out of the conference against the Ada Dark Knights. And despite the loss to Cleveland, the Jags hold on to the number 6 slot right now. One of the teams that was in the playoff picture a week ago was the West Virginia Gladiators. With a win, they could help cement themselves in at the number 5 slot. But the Western PA Warhawks, with a field goal, 15 seconds left in the ballgame, get a 17-14 win over the Gladiators. Let's turn our attention now to the Western Conference as the Lima Warriors look to clinch a first-round bye as they traveled to Cincinnati to take on the Mount Carmel Fire. Lima up 49-0 late, and they decide to give backup kicker Randy Ryan a chance to run the ball at a play that even baffled the play-by-play guy.
Henderson under center, and Randy Ryan is in the backfield as a tailback for Lima, and the handoff is to Ryan. Ryan passed the 30-yard line, gets knocked back down, and Randy actually looked like he got face masked. Randy Ryan, the ball carrier.
The final nail in the coffin came two plays later, thanks to Jeremy Hart.
I'm Don Matthews, coach of the Michigan Admirals. Are you hungry for Mexican or Tex-Mex food? Then make the short drive to Trini and Carmen's in Waterford. They have good food at great prices. Need takeout? Call them today at 248-332-6851. Trini and Carmen's is located at 1715 North Telegraph Road, just south of Dixie Highway in Waterford. Trini and Carmen supports the Michigan Admirals. Ladies and gentlemen,
protocol has been established.
Yes, it has. Protocol has been established.
It seems like that I have the red ass tonight.
Protocol has been established.
It seems like that I have the red ass tonight. Protocol has been established. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems like that I have the red ass tonight. Yes, I do.
Protocol has been established.
Yes, it has. Protocol has been established.
You know!
I got the red ass some of these spots. Oh, skipping, that's what I asked. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not too bad. So you get a couple of files that are skipping, so you can't play them right. So no big deal. Welcome to the locker room. Welcome back to the locker room. Coach Bill and Juan are hollering at 8. Beautiful here in Flint, Michigan, 75 degrees. No rain today. It's been just a very nice day. It's supposed to be very comfortable on the weekend, mid-upper 70s, and I'm liking that because I've been roasting the last few, 2 or 3 weeks.
I thought you cut it off because you didn't want to hear about the kicker running the football.
No, it kept starting and stopping, you know. I don't know what to tell you there. Next thing we want to talk about is the Hall of Fame induction and the Hall of Fame game itself. I do have a quick question. I guess it's like a I don't know what you call it, a trivia question or what, but I'm going to put this out there, see if we can get some answers. It actually isn't all that hard of a question, but you guys out there, please don't jump on the internet and find the answer and then jump back into the web chat and give me the answer. You know, try to use some brain power here. Here's the question. There are only two players in the Pro Football Hall of Fame whose last name starts with U. I need you to name both of them. One of them is going to be pretty easy. What do you think, Mr. Turner? Mr. Stormberg?
Oh, wow. I mean, you know, the one is obvious. So I'm trying to process the other one. Huh.
Well, who'd he play for?
Not telling you.
Why not?
That makes it easy.
Can we get like the era, the decade he played in or something?
See, I knew that Aaron Matthews will be the guy to get this right. I can depend on Aaron because he's just an encyclopedia of football knowledge. Unlike my cohorts here, this who's sitting there scratching their butt.
Yeah, but see, he was able to catch
Aaron was 100% right. So what now?
I said Aaron was able to establish wife protocol and get her off the internet. That's why he was able to look it up.
The answer is, of course, Johnny Unitas, the great Baltimore Colts quarterback, and Gene Upshaw, lineman for the Oakland Raiders, president of the NFLPA, at least for a little while longer. Those are the two guys, the only two guys that are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame whose last name starts with U. Now, moving on to the induction ceremony, the inductees on Saturday, Fred Dean, the sack specialist of the San Diego Chargers and San Francisco 49ers, Daryl Green, the Redskin great, Art Monk, finally. Those of you who have been listening to the Locker Room forever, you know how I've been on the soapbox trying to get Art Monk into the Hall of Fame, and I'm really pleased that he finally made it. They finally corrected the oversight. A lot of years too late, but they finally corrected the oversight. Emmett Thomas, the former Kansas City Chiefs star, well before your time, I'm sorry, but, you know, I remember him playing in the late 60s for the Chiefs. He was a lockdown corner for the Chiefs. He's now the assistant coach for the Washington Redskins. The Redskins just had a ball this weekend, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. It was really good. It always, it's kind of weird for me, you know, seeing players from Washington going into the Hall of Fame now, but, you know, it was great, you know. And anytime you get to beat Indianapolis, I'm all for it because I don't like the Colts. So, it was a good game, actually, too.
The other two guys that got in there is Gary Zimmerman, former Viking great, and Andre Tippett, former New England Patriot linebacker. This is a solid group, and we congratulate all these guys. I know you want to talk about Bill. You want to talk about the game on was it Sunday they had that game? And I have to be totally honest with you here that I didn't watch the game. It's hard for me to get interested and get excited about, you know, watching third string scrubs that you know are not going to be on the team this time next month, you know?
I think the performance that probably got my attention was the performance of Colt Brennan.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really happy about that. I heard he had a great game, but Bill, you talk a little bit more about Colt Brennan's performance.
You know, I believe he was 10 of 13 for close to 200 yards, and play well. I still think, and I mean, we've talked about this because, you know, there's rare to find people who are familiar with the University of Hawaii, but out of all the people that came out of a system quarterback, I thought the way he played and the way he was able to move the ball around, I thought if he got into the right system with the right coach that he could be a successful quarterback. And if they run the type of offense that fits him, I think he has more talent than Jason Campbell. I really do. I think his arm strength is underestimated. I think his vision of the field is underestimated. I think he can turn out to be a very good quarterback.
Lyon, what do you think?
I mean, I agree. I mean, that was, you know, his was a standout performance. I mean, I forget what his completion percentage was. I know he did throw for almost 200, I think 189 yards and two touchdowns, you know, and obviously he doesn't play. So, I mean, I think, you know, it just, like Bill was saying, it just, anybody who thought that that he was just a system quarterback, he was just a Hawaii quarterback, hopefully now they'll shut up. And, you know, if he keeps on that, on this track, he's going to be he's going to be something to deal with right there.
Well, you know, I've always been on the Colt Brennan bandwagon. You know, everybody knows that. You didn't have a good a bowl game, but, you know, none of the guys that were finalists for the Heisman Trophy had a good bowl game. So, Bill, do you think that Colt Brennan has a realistic shot before the season is over, that he could be the starting quarterback for the Redskins, or are they committed to Jason Campbell and Colt's going to be the backup regardless?
I think the only way that Colt Brennan plays at all this year is if he struggles immensely or the Redskins struggle and have a losing record the last couple weeks of the season. I think that's the only way that Colt Brennan plays. And I think they are too much in love with Jason Campbell, and it is a mystery to me why they are. He does not impress me as a quarterback. And that's why I always thought that a dark horse team to get the little diva from Mississippi was the Redskins, because they really do not have a quarterback that stands up and makes you go, wow. And I think that's why I think if he does have a shot, if they make it a competition where they give him an opportunity, I think Colt Brennan can play. I just don't think that the Redskins are going to give him a chance to do it, because Jason Campbell, you can put him out there and they'll say, run the football, don't lose the game for us.
Yeah. Lon, what do you think?
Honestly, I mean, I haven't really seen a whole lot of Jason Campbell, you know, just because the Redskins aren't on TV much, you know, here. But I think, honestly, if Colt Brennan keeps playing the way he did Saturday or Sunday, I think he's going to be serious, serious competition for Jason Campbell. And, you know, like Bill said, if Jason Campbell struggles, you know, has a few bad weeks or whatever, then Colt Brennan probably should get a chance.
Well, that's something to really to bear watching. You know, I don't think after one game or one quarter that there's a quarterback controversy in Washington. But I think that's going to be bearing watching, and a lot of it depends on what kind of a start that the Redskins get to this year. I'm not as down on Jason Campbell as Mr. Snorenberg is, but I think to have somebody like Colt Brennan as an insurance guy as backup, I think that's going to really help the Redskins out a lot. And I'm looking for some big things from Washington this year. I tell you what, they're in better shape at the quarterback spot than the Chicago Bears are right now. Orton and Grossman doesn't make a half a quarterback put together.
They are very weak at that position.
You know, and Aaron brings with the good point they got Todd Collins there too, and you know, Colt Brennan will probably start out as the number three quarterback, but they're solid, I think, all the way down the line at quarterback, and they don't have to rush the youngster. Like, I am really terribly scared they're going to do with Chad Henne in Miami. I keep hearing these glowing reports about Chad Henne's picking up the offense well. Chad Henne looks like the best of the bunch, you know. And I've never been a Chad Henne fan per se, even though I'm a Michigan man. But I would hate to see them throw that young man under the bus like that, you know.
Yeah, and that's pretty much anything, you know, even with Atlanta, you know, any team that has any kind of non-existent quarterback situation, any rookie that went there had the potential to be just thrown to the wolves. I think, was it Matt Ryan went to Atlanta, I believe? The draft is so far gone now, I forget. I don't pay attention to the regular season starts. But, you know, it's just one of those things where I was honestly surprised how much of that game I watched Sunday. You know, once I saw that the Redskins were starting to beating the Colts, then I got interested again. But, you know, I don't pay attention to football until regular season starts. But, you know, Atlanta has that same potential as having a rookie under center, and it's just bad news, I think.
I would tell you, and, you know, it must be just about football season, because I'm seeing stupid Detroit Lions commercials. I make fun of that commercial all the time where the one guy comes in the background, what about now? What about now? What about last year, man? What about the year before?
The Lions,
John Kitten said he's going to win 10 games again.
The Lions should steal the Raiders' motto and change it a little bit. You know what their motto should be? Win, baby. We hope.
No, I think the Lions' motto should be, you know, commitment to mediocrity.
We'll get there one day.
But, you know, honestly, I have seen worse football commercials. So, and I think we all have. So I'm going to leave it alone at that.
Why do you always slide in that team and think you're slick about it?
I'm about to settle it.
Get in trouble for always do, but yet you're the one that's always sliding in that team and mentioning. You do it. It's not me. It's you, Truck Turner.
I never said I was innocent. I'm just.
What about Truck?
I just hope we don't hear someone at the gate Saturday look up at Lon and go, "You're not coming in here either."
No, because I know for a fact that the Warriors have class.
Yeah, because most of the guys in the Patriots front office, probably 99.9% of them can't spell
class. Don't go there.
You can just spell ass.
Don't go there.
See, you said the name. I just made a little kind of inside reference.
Just a second. I say.
Hey, now, you know, speaking of the Kansas.
I don't care.
You know what? Yeah, you guys need to give that up. Just take a pill and relax and give that up. You've been carrying that grudge for over a year, and it's just time to let it go.
Oh, mine's been going for about 2 years now, Coach. Mine is perfect.
We got that real anniversary on September 27th. To go take a couple 40s in front of Atwood and dump them where we were.
You know what? I wouldn't waste the beer on them, honestly. Maybe some Flint River water or something, but I wouldn't waste beer on them. Anyway. Okay, I'll let it go.
Lon, you know, you really need to take my advice, okay? You know, you need to lay down, brew yourself a cup of tea, just sit back and meditate and just forget all about that. That's in the past.
My goal is beyond last year. Mine is, like, extreme. Mine is money personal.
That's past. It's like the Detroit Lions say, "What about now?"
Hey, I got a lot of free time on my hands lately.
Yeah, you got that spirit, that flat tire. You know, I can imagine.
Yeah. So.
Next item.
What?
Next item up for bids on the Price is Right. Steve Smith of the Carolina Panthers punching out his teammate. Got a 2-game regular season suspension for that. Good or bad, Mr. Stormberg?
Bad.
And why?
You know what? I would think that you would watch your players. I think I would release the other guy, because if he's not tough enough to take a punch and gets railroaded by a little dinky wide receiver, how tough is he? Really, I mean, you're going to suspend him.
A lot of times you can take the brother out of the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of the brother.
I know they've had murderers on their roster. Now they got people who want to beat up teammates. I mean, they had a dope head. I mean.
Not the first time he's done this, though. He has periodically caused problems with that team. Lon, what do you think? Is this appropriate punishment or not?
I look at it like this. If you can look at two players, even in practice on the same team, if they're going at it, you can see when tempers are starting to flare. They should have been saying, okay, you know what, you guys, you go this way. Honestly, I think it could have been completely averted. You know, it's one of those situations that could have been diffused early, and it never would have gotten to that point. You know, the suspension, I mean, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, if that happened in the regular season or during a game, he gets suspended. So why not? I don't know. Was he suspended by the team or by the league?
He's suspended by the team.
Okay, well, so yeah, then, you know, then it's handled in-house. That's their prerogative. So it's just one of those, I think it could have been prevented.
Man, you know, Aaron is really, he's going way back bringing up Ray Caruth. His old family don't bring him up. He's dead to everybody. But I actually think that, you know, kudos to John Fox and to the Carolina Panthers. You know, like I said, this is not the first time that he's had this kind of problem. And it wasn't like, I mean, there's fights in training camp all the time. And most of those kind of fights are, you know, bitch swinging at one another, and, you know, holding on to face masks and stuff like that. You know, nothing really happens during those kind of fights. But when you're going to really slug somebody, really, the guy who wasn't even paying attention, his hands are down, he's not expecting anything like that, and you slug the guy in the face and break his nose, there's got to be some kind of consequence over that. And I applaud the Carolina Panthers for coming down hard on this man. Yes, you know, he's your best player, and he needs to be on the field, but players need to know what's right and what's wrong. You know, it just in case, they're ignorant enough not to know this stuff. And he's obviously ignorant enough that he does not know this stuff. So you're going to have to show him.
If they want to punish him, tell him to play for the Lions for 2 weeks. That'll really get his goat.
You know, now, I think there you would probably be going too far. The punishment does not fit the crime.
Yeah, that's borderline cruel and unusual right there.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm a firm believer in the punishment fitting the crime, and that's going way over, out of bounds there. You know, you can't do that. I just want to tell you Detroit Lions fans that, you know, we go through this every year. I don't know how many shows. This is like show number 280-something that we've done over the past years. And I think from the very first episode that I did, I talked bad about the Lions. And, you know, here we are all these shows later, all these years later, and we're still doing it.
So what you're saying is you established protocol.
Well, you know, it's pretty easy to establish protocol. I mean, it's the same crap year after year after year. I think the Lions established the protocol of being bad. And I still say, I'm going to say this and I'm going to get on to something else. I still say that Matt Millen must have some dirty pictures of Bill Ford or him screwing a goat or something.
Okay, we're going to make a new rule. We can't talk about that crappy blue team, and you can't talk about the way Matt Millen has dirty pictures of the Ford.
He's got to. How in the hell does he keep his job?
I don't know. I'm still wondering how that other team fields a team every year.
I never understood that. You know, how does this man keep his job? If you work in Burger King and you consistently make bad hamburgers, you're going to get fired, right? Work in General Motors, hang on. If you work in General Motors and you put together a car and the wheels keep falling off, you're going to get fired. Why in the hell is this man put together a bad product year after year after year and nothing happens to him?
Because their car is their football model. Ford. Found out roadside dead.
I'm still going with the pictures. He got some pictures of Bill Ford in drag or something. Maybe he has a picture of Bill Ford Jr. slopping spit with some guy or something. It's got to be something like that. It's got to be animal sex.
Wow. Now we've used animal sex. Wow, I didn't think we'd ever go there.
I don't hear anybody disagreeing. There you go.
That's the only way he could go around town without people booing him is probably to dress in drag. Mr. Ford, table for two. You suck!
Let's move off of the Lions now. We got plenty of time during the upcoming season to talk about how bad the Lions are, you know, so we want to save that for later on. Next thing, you know, the saga in Green Bay just gets weirder and weirder all the time. It's here's what Coach McCarthy says. McCarthy says that in that long talk that he had with Brett Favre a couple of days ago, his mindset is not right to play football for the Green Bay Packers. He just can't get past what's happened over the past few weeks to get to this point. And they, correct me if I'm wrong, Bill and Truck, they're still kind of like, you know, you can compete for the job, but, I mean, geez, you compete for the job, who the hell you think is going to win, you know? If you really wanted to, coach the Green Bay Packers, I mean, to quarterback the Green Bay Packers, they gave him out, and he says that he just can't get past what's been said and what's been done these last few weeks. So, you know, he's forcing the Packers' hand, correct?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lon.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with Coach. I was just saying, yeah, he has forced Green Bay's hand.
If he really wants to go to Minnesota, which as we said a couple of weeks ago, no way in hell that's going to happen.
I think the best quote that you saw from this whole saga was today I saw when Brett Favre said he watched, because the Packers every year have one of their scrimmages on television, and he said that he watched the game and he did not look at the team and go, oh, I really should be out there. It didn't faze him at all. He didn't feel like he was missed at all. And that told me right there two things. One, his head isn't in it. If you're watching a team that you want to compete for and you're not thinking, oh, I could be out there and I could be making that play, then I'm questioning how much you really want to play. And two, I now have a newfound respect for Mike McCarthy because he looked at Brett Favre and asked him his commitment. And Brett lollygagged around going, boo-hoo, whine, acting like a little bitch. And McCarthy was like, well, you know what? If you're not committed to us, we're not going to be committed to you. Take your ass back to Mississippi. I think you look at a Hall of Famer telling that, and then he gets up and says, okay, you just got more respect from your football team by doing that than anything that you could probably do this preseason. By looking at me, if you're not committed to us, and you go out and say, well, you know, if this is a legitimate competition, you know who's going to win. And your coach tells you, I don't basically care what the GM says. I'm going to give you every opportunity to win the job. And you look at your coach and say, well, I don't like the things that were being said off the field. I want to go play somewhere else. You're acting like a little bitch. Take your ass back and go play in Tampa Bay with 17 quarterbacks. Because right now, the king of being pissed off should not be Aaron Rodgers or any Green Bay Packer fan. Jeff Garcia,
yes, sir.
Off. Jeff Garcia should walk up to John Gruden and be like, you know what? If you bring this little diva here, get me the hell out of here. Send me down to Miami, wherever.
You're mortgaging, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, the team that picks up Brett Favre has got to feel that they are almost to the point where they are at a Super Bowl, and they feel that to win the Super Bowl this year, the only thing that they're missing is a quarterback. I don't know whether Tampa falls into that category. Green Bay is much more in line to be a Super Bowl team than Tampa Bay is, and definitely more than the Jets are. I mean, I don't even know whether Brett Favre as quarterback of the New York Jets, whether they would make the playoffs.
I mean, the teams that are close that can get to the Super Bowl that maybe their problem is not a quarterback. Now, mind you, there are some teams out there who could use him, but the teams that can get through the playoffs and make a run are teams that already have an okay quarterback. They're just missing a piece of defense or a big play wide receiver or a running back. Steelers are close. They don't need Brett Favre. They need people on defense. Like that don't need a quarterback. They need someone to make a play in a quarterback position.
You know, the thing with this whole Brett Favre thing, any team that goes out there and gets him to think that he's going to be the savior of the team, is they're stupid. I mean, they're betting, what, maybe one, two seasons that Brett Favre may have left in him to get them to the Super Bowl, to get him a Super Bowl win, you know, and whatnot. And that may not even be the case. You know, he may get hurt. Anything may happen. Any team that's, you know, that's a legitimate contender to go deep into the playoffs, if not to the Super Bowl and or win it, then it's stupid to rest all your hopes on a 38-year-old quarterback. I don't care if he's Brett Favre. I don't care who he is.
Bill?
Well, I'm just saying, like I said, the teams out there that are close to the Super Bowl are teams that can win with the quarterback they have. They need help on defense. They need help maybe at a wide receiver position. They need help at running back. You mean to tell me that you could take, if Eli Manning could take a team to the Super Bowl, that proves right there that you don't need a great quarterback. You need a great defense. You need to have maybe a solid possession wide receiver or a good running game. You don't need a great quarterback to win the Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer was not the greatest quarterback in the world. They just had a defense that was unbelievable. I mean, if you really think about it, Jim McMahon was not a great quarterback, and the Bears won the Super Bowl. They had the best running back ever. Defense that wouldn't let anybody score. Go through all 42, and you'd be like, well, there's only a handful of quarterbacks that were incredible. Bradshaw's, Montana's, those guys. A lot of teams have average quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls. You think about it. Joe Namath was not a great quarterback, and they won a Super Bowl. You need a great quarterback to win a Super Bowl. I think that's the biggest misconception right now, that you need a Hall of Fame quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
Well, you know, I think Trent Dilfer will probably disagree with you.
He's a hell of a golfer, not a great quarterback.
Well, you know, the two teams that really fit that category right now, that I need a quarterback and I may be able to run the table, is the two teams that no way in heck that are they going to trade them to, Minnesota and Chicago. You know, that's just not going to happen.
Better chance of Halle Berry on my lap Saturday in Lima than Brett Favre playing for the Minnesota Vikings.
I want this drama to end, you know. I think it's a distraction to the team. And Aaron Rodgers has been nothing but professional throughout this whole thing, you know, and he's got a lot of pressure on him coming into this season. If it was I just feel that if he decides, if he goes out there and plays well, you know, all that pressure would be off, and Packer fans will be able to move on. But if he goes in and he has even one game where he throws two or three interceptions, everybody's going to come down on him, you know? You know, never mind that Brett has done, you know, he's not too far removed from having a couple of three bad years.
No-win situation, because no matter what he does this year, no matter what he does, short of winning a Super Bowl, they're going to get no-win situation. The only way that they forget about him is if he takes them to a Super Bowl this year. Short of a Super Bowl, and people are going to say, see, if we had Brett Favre, we could have got to the Super Bowl. That's how it's going to be this year. I mean, they have totally screwed the season over by doing this. The season is screwed right now. This drop.
You know, everybody's trying, you know, Brett's trying to make the Packers seem like the bad guys, you know, and the Packers are trying to do the same thing. But let's face it here. And, you know, once again, we said this a couple of weeks ago. If the Packers really wanted to be vindictive and maybe force Brett Favre into retirement, all they'd have to do is trade him to Miami. He'd tear up those reinstatement papers in a second. Just my opinion.
Miami 2 months ago. You want to play? Go play in Miami.
Yeah, you know, hey, I thought this was what it was about. You wanted to play. There's your chance. They ain't got a quarterback in Miami. You go in there and do your thing for a year, 2 years, or whatever, you know? And I guess I'm just a vindictive person, I guess, because I that was what I surely would have done. The moment he started acting a fool like that, I would have traded him 2 weeks ago to Miami. I didn't even have to get much in return for him. You can give me a conditional draft pick if you want. If he shows up, I get the draft pick. If he don't, you can keep it, you know?
I would have said, we'll trade you three of those hot cheerleaders for Brett Favre and a conditional pick.
Oh, you know, we'll see how that comes out, though. There are rumors that the Buccaneers may be ready to announce a trade tomorrow to bring Brett Favre to the Tampa and hereby bringing in, opening up a whole new can of worms with him and Jeff Garcia. I would think, though, that if there's some kind of trade, they've probably got to put a quarterback into the mix to send to Green Bay, you know, either Greasy or Chris Sims. What do you think?
I'm surprised. They showed it today. They have five quarterbacks on their roster right now. How many more quarterbacks does Gruden need? I mean, what do you think? I mean, they have the guy from Toledo who played well when he played. Greasy has said, at times, has played well in the pros. Sims, until he decided to play with a ruptured spleen, showed that he had a little bit of game. Now you're going to go for a guy who's playing 1 year, and you just had a guy. Your quarterback came off the Pro Bowl last year, and he's not good enough for you?
You know, and here's the last thing on this issue. I don't know how well Brett Favre and John Gruden are going to get along with each other. These are two extremely headstrong individuals. And both of them can quickly get the red ass in the blink of an eye. If he does go to Tampa, it's going to be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out.
You know, really, I don't even think I would worry about Gruden. I would worry about the players in that locker room. How are they going to react? Are you going to divide a team by bringing in Brett Favre, those who want Garcia, who's been around them, or someone who just comes in and because you're both everyone, Gruden, who says, I want Brett Favre. It's not the owner or the general manager. It's Gruden pushing that button.
Yeah, Devin, Chucky with the red ass. That's going to be it. That's never happened before. I've never seen him upset. He's a calm, cool individual. Last thing I want to talk about tonight. The NFL has come out with a fan code of conduct for this season and beyond. Let me tell you just some of the things that they're talking about. And they say that individual teams can add to this code of conduct as they see fit. First of all, a fan faces ejection from a game and a loss of ticket privileges for these things. Number one, unruly, disruptive, or illegal behavior. Now, I actually thought that you could be put out of the game for that anyway, but, you know, it's good to have it in writing, right? Number two, drunkenness that results in irresponsible behavior. But if you get drunk and fall asleep in your chair, they'll leave you alone. You get drunk and fart on somebody, then, you know, that's a fine line. But if you get disruptive, you out of there. Lonnie, did you say something?
It's one of the things.
Because somebody got their TV on.
It's one of the things where it's just too, I think it's way too open for interpretation if they're leaving it up to the team. I think they need to identify specific things that, you know, that they mean. I mean, just, you know, one person's unruly may not be another person's unruly. So isn't part of the fun of going to a football game being unruly, especially down around in the end zones and everything?
I actually was wondering how that dynamic plays out, you know, like in the black hole.
You know, or like
because, let me finish these things here, and then we'll talk about it some more. Foul or abusive language or obscene gestures, interference with the game, including throwing objects on the field, failing to follow the instructions of stadium personnel, and last is verbal or physical harassment of opposing team fans. Now, I thought that most of these things get you kicked out anyway, but, you know, like I said, I guess it's never been in black and white before.
Go ahead, Bill.
I was like, you know what Roger Goodell's turned into? Roger Goodell is turned into that old, crabby, old man that don't want the kids in the neighborhood to have any kind of fun. That's what he's starting to turn into. I mean, right now, the people who are freaking out, like you just said, are the people in Oakland and the people in Cleveland. Really not one of the two thriving of nice people communities in the country, Oakland and Cleveland, with people who are right in mind anyways. But those people are like, now what the hell are we supposed to do? And what? The people in Washington, grown men wearing dresses to the game. To me, that's offensive. You should be kicked out. But is that offensive to the stadium personnel? Should they be kicked out because... The No Fun League says you can't do that? I mean, who has gone to a game and has never cussed at anyone? Do you know if they had this in college football? The horseshoe would be the most silent place on the planet when Michigan played there. No one would be able to say a word. That's why I don't have that rule in college football, because the shoe would be the quietest place in the country. Because we all know how nice those people are. That's why they don't have it in college. And you think in the NFL that no one is going to yell at some $7 million guy who can't catch a football in a screen pass? Or some athlete who was on your team that left for free agency to take less money from another team? You don't think that anyone that played for the Oakland Raiders that ended up going to Denver to play for Shanahan isn't going to get told a little something-something by a Raider fan? And you're going to kick them out? The first person that gets kicked out for yelling obscene or something and a player gets kicked out of their $95 seats will sue the NFL. Freedom of speech.
And I agree with, I mean, the throwing stuff on the field, you know, that's a no-brainer. But with a lot of these teams that have these big rivalries that are in close proximity to where the visiting team has fans that travel, that can travel to that game and, you know, intermingle with the home fans. Yeah, that's just, that's part of the thing of going to football games, is to be, you know, especially like sit down in the end zone, the black hole, the dog pound, you know, it's, that's a big draw to those people that are sitting in those seats, because you can get down there and you can be unruly. You can be rowdy. You know, you're close enough and, you know, you can yell at the players and whatnot. So it's just, I think it's a bad idea, honestly. I mean, a lot of people are really going to you know, fight this. And I think that, like Bill said, there will be, you know, more than one lawsuit, honestly.
I mean, I could see not telling someone to drop a bunch of F-bombs and start cussing and swearing at someone with kids around. I mean, I can understand that. But, I mean, what are you going to do? You're in the third row behind a bench, and let's say you're a Packer fan and you just happen to be in Tampa Bay, and you start telling Brett Favre he's a sorry-ass, pansy-ass, bitch punk for leaving Green Bay. Does that get you kicked out? Because you might have people around you like, yeah, you know what? He's kind of right, because he is kind of a diva and a bitch, so I guess, you know, he shouldn't be kicked out for that, because he is really speaking the truth. And you don't think that someone from Oakland is going to not cuss out someone from Denver or San Diego? I'm sure there are Oakland Raider fans who will cuss out their own mother if they showed up with, like, orange on at their house, or blue, or powder blue. That's how loopy they are.
Honestly, the only way, especially with the fact that you can buy beer at NFL stadiums, this is going to be a mess. Because you get some 300-pound guy wearing a hog nose and a dress and a flowered straw hat, you know, get 6 or 7 beers in it, yeah, he's going to be a little unruly. Him along with, you know, the other 6 or 7 guys that are dressed the same way, that drink just as much beer. So you got to kick out some of your most loyal fans, because, you know, they...
Well, I got to tell you, Lon, you know, I've been a longtime Redskin fan, and I've never seen a hog unruly.
And when is the last time you saw somebody run onto the field of an NFL game? It happens once every 5 years. Usually it's some kid who does it. So really it doesn't. And you never see people throw – the last time you saw people throw stuff on the field, I think, was 3 years ago in Cleveland. And Cleveland, they were the biggest morons, because they're selling plastic bottles of Miller Lite. And you're selling – instead of cups, you're selling the actual plastic bottles. Oh, and then after the game, they go, we don't think it's a good idea we sell those anymore. Yeah, morons, they're freaking weapons. That's the only time I've seen people actually throw stuff on the field. You don't see it. And then now, to put it out there, we're having a fan code of conduct. Now people are going to see, well, how far, where's the line at? I'm going to go up to it and see if I can cross it, what I can get away with. Because you know there are those morons and idiots out there. If you don't say nothing, just say, you know, you're expected to act like you have some sense. And just leave it at that. Hey, Goodell, these are the people that are letting you have a $600 million TV contract and charge $150 to watch a crappy football team. And now you're trying to alienate them, too? You already can't control your players. How are you going to control 80,000 people? You can't even control a small group of your football players who want to go to a strip club and slap some bitch on the back of her head. How can you control Joe Schmo, who has a job Monday through Friday? Your referees don't even work for you full time. Why don't you solve that problem before you worry about the fans and your product on the field? Before you worry about the people in the stands. Solve the product problem on the field.
Okay, I'm going to ask a question here, and I'm not sure if I want to know the answer. Have either one of you guys gotten unruly at a sporting event? I mean, seriously unruly?
I did at a Piston-Milwaukee Buck basketball game.
Do you mean
well, that's your
fan?
First problem. You went to see the Bucks.
No, but I was there to see the Pistons in Milwaukee, and I had my Pistons stuff on. And that's when with the bad boys. That's
totally
for another time.
Come on, dude.
Okay.
Don't leave us
hanging. Okay. All right. Well, you know, we were sitting behind. My best friend got worked at Coca-Cola, so we had row one behind the Bucks bench. So before the game, we're standing up, and I have my Piston gear on, and the team's warming up, and we're yelling at them and stuff, and yelling at the Pistons. They're all pointing at us, and Rodman's pointing at us when he was sane. And David Wood, who used to play for the Rockford Lightning, I knew him, so I said, "Hey, Dave, when you get in the game, dunk on Mike Trzeminski." So he goes and dunks the warm-ups, and we're going nuts. So during the game, we're yelling at Blue Edwards, who used to play for the Milwaukee Bucks, and we're getting on him good because he sucks. So Terry Mills, I have more leap in the building than Terry Mills, blocked Blue Edwards' shot. So we stood up, started laughing and pointing at him. My best friend goes, "Hey, Blue Edwards, you just got your shot blocked by Terry Mills. You're not allowed to talk trash for 2 weeks." Everyone heard it because my friend was loud. So, of course, Blue comes by, and so we're like, "Hey, Blue, you know, you're grounded, you're on punishment, go sit in the corner, blah, blah, blah." He goes down maybe three plays later, dunks, comes by us, drops a couple F-bombs, and runs up the court. And John McLaughlin, who played for the Bucks, goes, "Well, that was for a couple of Piston fans behind us." So me, being the quiet one, stood up and go, "Way to go, Blue. Nice dunk. You're still down by 23. And he comes back by, leaves the game. I go, "Hey, Blue, nice dunk. You're still down by 23. And he dropped a couple F-bombs to me and sat on the bench.
Another friend made by Bill Snorenberg.
Another state you're not allowed in.
Yeah, not allowed in Wisconsin anymore. Man, you brought up Terry Mills. Woo.
Wow.
You know what I used to call Terry Mills? I used to call him Doughboy. You press his belly, he laughs.
That was not the only time I got loud in Milwaukee, but that was the best one. And David Wood did dunk on Mike Trzeminski after they got up 25 and came over and pointed at us. God bless David Wood, wherever you are.
You know, this is probably the only sports show in America that where you can hear references to Blue Edwards and David Greenwood and Terry Mills.
Screw Blue Edwards. He played in Utah.
Yeah, we used to make fun of Terry Mills all the time. You know, he couldn't jump over a piece of paper. He was a waste of skin, I'm telling you. Hey, the Olympics start Friday. Anybody give a crap?
No.
I watch softball. That's about it.
Well, you know what? I take that back. I'm going to watch Allison Felix run. I will watch her run. And
yeah,
if you don't know who Allison Felix is, go look her up. I'll watch her run. And you know what? I think I'll do that.
Yeah, I'll watch softball and probably some women's volleyball. That's about it.
You're going to watch the DOS League in the Olympics?
The who?
The DOS League. Don't you know what the DOS League is?
No, but I'm sure you're going to tell me.
Dykes on Spikes.
Have you ever seen Jenny Finch?
I've seen Jenny Finch. Do you know she's married? I didn't say all of them were.
Okay.
I didn't say all of them were like that. And hey, I'm not complaining that they are. That's entertainment right there to watch that. I'm just saying that seen Jenny Finch. I've seen Jenny Finch. You'll find a good-looking person. I mean, look at the WNBA. There's a couple good-looking players in the WNBA. It doesn't mean they're at the drive-thru getting carpet after the game. They just do it part-time, I bet. They just do it
part-time. Send your complaint letters to Bill Snorenberg at... You just continue to make friends, don't you? I'm going to try to come in and out of Ohio very quietly, guys. So, you know, if Bill wants to run his mouth, I'll just going to kick his butt out of the van and keep on riding.
Wait a
you
second. We're already been marked because you were brilliant and decided to put a Michigan bumper sticker in the back of your car. So now we're definitely marked as soon as we cross over the border, because once you get to Lima, that's where the loony Ohio State fans start. So I just hope we go to speed limit so we can get out of in and out of Lima and go past the one street light and stoplight as fast as we can in the stadium and then get out. My question to Lima, I have one question for Lima. Why would you name your football stadium Spartan Stadium, no matter what the name of your high school is? Doesn't that break nickname protocol by naming anything like Spartan or Wolverine in Ohio?
You might have a point there. I don't know. Yeah, I know Bill's going to blow it for me. I'm pretty confident of that. He's going to say something that's going to...
I do not
say
nothing.
Us chasing down I-75 in for the border, and I can hear the banjos playing now with people chasing us.
I'm wearing my Notre Dame hat. I'm going to be like, I ain't with these Michigan Yahoos. I just got picked up on the way, officer. And then he's probably going to drop the 1813 reference from 1935, and then I'm going to jail because they're still pissed off about that. So.
Yeah, you tell him, Devin.
Yeah, I
knew the name of the stadium, but, you know, he needs to be educated.
You know, I just, for some reason...
Oh, it's Spartan Way. That's what it is. Sorry, Lima Stadium. I guess it's the only thing in town you have to name it after your city, right, Devin? Suppose building in Lima!
He needs to be educated. Educate this young man.
Notre Dame will not get any kills faster in Ohio than Michigan. I bet you if you had me standing in Columbus with a Notre Dame shirt on and someone who's stupid enough to wear a Michigan shirt in Columbus, who's going to get it first? Who will get it first? Come on now. You know? We all know that most Ohio State fans are not the brightest people on the planet because Notre Dame's blue and yellow and Michigan's blue and yellow, so they're going to have to think for a minute.
All I know is that I'm looking forward to coming down there Saturday, hanging out with these guys, play this game in front of all these fans, and go out to eat afterwards, and sample some of this food that everybody's talking about. So I'm looking forward to it. I know the guys are. But I want to... And Lon can't even play.
Yeah,
next week on the locker room, we'll have our end of the season discussion and talk about everything that's happened this year, and also have our USFA playoff primer and get you up to date on the games that are going to be played that weekend, the first round of the USFA playoffs. Wow, it's starting to rain here. I talked all show about what a beautiful day it was, and now it's starting to rain.
He started making fun of Notre Dame, and God said, enough of this crap. Let it rain. If you want, I'll call Eric Parsegan, and he can make rain stop.
Can he now?
He can.
Oh, he's so
that's
damn
a story
old.
For,
making me,
that's a story for another
all
time.
The time and think it's raining.
That story for another time.
Not if I can help it. like I said, we want to thank you all for listening tonight. We got to get ready to sign off here. Thank all our guys down in Ohio who listen to us religiously every week, establishing protocol as only they can. And... saying bad things about Notre Dame, you know, so I know we got at least one thing in common. So, Lon, Bill, we're going to check you out Bill, I'll see you at practice tomorrow night. Lon, we'll see you Saturday when we get ready to make the drive down to Ohio.
Sure.
All right. You guys take it easy. I'll check you out later.
Yep, you too.
Don't forget, the game against the Lima Warriors is going to be broadcast on our Admirals Radio Network. 6:45 is the start time for that game. with the pregame. Kickoff is at 7:05. You can also listen to it on the Lima feed. We'll put both feeds on our website, so maybe you can listen to ours a little bit, listen to theirs a little bit, and get an idea going back and forth of the play calling from both the Admirals and the Warriors' perspective. That's about all I got for tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. We'll see you next week on the Locker Room on Blog Talk Radio and the Admirals Radio Network. I'm quiet now.